Welcome to the Guardians of the Game podcast, presented by the National Association of Basketball Coaches, where we go one-on-one with the top minds in college basketball to learn what makes a coach a coach.
So many people, you know, help shape everyone's lives, and we've been very fortunate to be surrounded by a lot of positive role models that we, again, appreciate very much.
The NABC Guardians of the Game is proudly supported by Wilson, the official basketball of the NCAA. Now, here's your host, Dave Odom.
Welcome back to the NABC Guardians of the Game podcast. Today's guest is the head coach of the Oklahoma Sooners, Lon Kruger. Welcome to the podcast, Lon. Glad to have you.
Thanks, Coach. Always good to visit with you and look forward to it.
Well, let's get some of the things out of the way here that most of our basketball fans would know, but maybe all of them would not. So let's kind of cover that. First of all, what do you and Tubby Smith have in common other than you are head coaches at major schools?
Well, we enjoy each other's company a lot. you know, at meetings in the summer, we play a lot of golf, and I guess we've coached at a few different schools and had a lot of good players. So good to have that in common.
All right. Well, let me go ahead and take the lead on that since you're being somewhat humble. Tubby and Lon Kruger are the only two head coaches now coaching at universities that have taken five schools to the NCAA. Obviously, in your case, it's Florida, it's UNLV, Arizona State, Illinois, and most recently, Oklahoma. Man, what an array of schools. They're all, you know, I guess from the Mississippi over except for Florida. And I'm particularly proud of the Florida accomplishment because when I was playing or coaching at Wake Forest, you and I played a home-and-home. And the thing I remember about that is you won at my place and I won at yours. It was something that was very, very unusual. But you took that team and you went to the Final Four, and, you know, that had to be a great experience for you.
As you know, Coach, it was. It was great because we had, number one, we had a great group of guys. We had a really, really good group of players that played hard for each other. They enjoyed it. And, of course, when you do that, those guys and all your fans have memories for a lifetime. That's what makes it all a little bit extra special.
Well, on last year at the Final Four, the NABC Award for the Metropolitan Outstanding Service to College Basketball was given to you. It was given to you by your son, Kevin. That had to be a special moment in your life and for your wife, Barb.
It was. When you have children grow up, they usually graduate high school, and then you see them occasionally, but you don't have the opportunity to be around them very often each day. And Barb and I have been blessed with the opportunity to do that with Kev because he came back as a fifth-year grad transfer from Arizona State, came back to UNLV, and we had a chance to coach him for his fifth year, and now he's been on their staff here at the University of Oklahoma for the last 2 years. Of course, to see him every day and to watch him grow as not just a person, but a basketball coach as well, it's very satisfying, and don't always have that opportunity as a parent, and we appreciate it, and don't take that for granted.
Most of your work as a coach has been done, as I said, Mississippi River West. You did spend that those few years there at Florida as the head basketball coach at the university there. But you also had one other year as the head coach of the Atlanta Hawks. That was in year 2000. It was a short stay there. You went to the NBA. You stayed the 1 year. You came back to the NCAA. Talk to us a little bit about the differences in coaching professional basketball at the NBA level versus the NCAA, where you've spent most of your adult life.
There are a lot of differences. For sure. You're catching, of course, young men at a different stage in their career. In college, of course, they all aspire to play in the NBA and make that progress. And, for the most part, don't have families in place, don't have agents in place. Then they get the NBA, of course. They've got families, they've got agents, they've got a lot of people around them. And we went into Atlanta in 2000 and actually spent 2.5, 3 culture and help them, get back to the playoffs. And we didn't do that. We didn't take care of our end of the bargain, and we got fired there in our third year. And that was a good experience. It was humbling in a very healthy way, and we've got good relationships still from Atlanta, experience in the NBA, and wouldn't have traded it. But we did have the opportunity to get back in college at Nevada, Las Vegas, and Barb and I love living in Vegas, and love the people there still, and we go back there whenever we can. And it's all been a great experience. You know, when you meet people at different stops and you have the opportunity to interact with young players and watch them grow and develop and grow on to have their own families and still maintain those relationships, makes it what we do all very special.
Was it difficult transitioning back into college? The college game changes so quickly. Recruiting changes. How much you have to deal with the media or your fans and administration. There are different expectations. It seems like each and every year, in addition to the way the game has changed. So transitioning back to UNLV and the college game, was that difficult for you, or did you kind of flow right into it?
Coaching in college is something that, when you do it, you get comfortable with the process, I guess, because it's always about people. And going back to Nevada, Las Vegas, we encountered a terrific group of people, obviously a fan base that loved basketball, and a city that was high on energy, enthusiasm, loved living there, and loved working with the people every day in the athletic department and across campus. So the people made it an easy transition back, and again, we were fortunate enough to have a lot of really good players, and fun to watch them grow and develop, and enjoyed our time there. And now, in their seventh year at the University of Oklahoma, it's always people and terrific people here as well.
Lon, you grew up in a very small town in Kansas. You ended up playing two sports there, baseball and basketball. I don't know the position you played in baseball. I would guess shortstop or second base. What'd you play? I'm guessing.
Well, and that's true. And baseball was my first love growing up. My dad was, loved baseball. He coached all the little league teams, and I was there summers from morning to night, 7 days a week, centered around baseball. From the time back then we started playing organized ball, like at 10 years old. And today they start at 3 or 4. But back then, he coached. I was the oldest of 6 kids, and he coached all of our little league teams. And we loved being at the baseball fields. And during the summer, our family maintained the grounds and ran the concession stand. So as a family, it was an experience that we thought was perfect, and still do, in terms of spending all that time together. So, I had the opportunity to do that in college. And, always the baseball season started a little bit late because we finished up basketball first. But had the great experience, and, still love baseball to the day.
You went to Kansas State. Kansas State, of course, in the Big 12. You're coaching in the Big 12 at Oklahoma, a rival school right now. So once a year, because of the round-robin play in the Big 12, you get to get on that plane and fly into Manhattan and play against your alma mater. Got to be special feelings every time you go in there. You want to beat them, but at the same time, you've got to have great memories of playing there night after night for the great Jack Hartman. He had to be one of your great mentors.
Absolutely. Coach Hartman was the best. He probably doesn't get the national recognition that he deserves because he never did get to a Final Four, and yet clearly one of the best coaches ever. Most organized. His teams played with great discipline. He always put players in position on the floor to be successful and most effective. And yeah, just a terrific, terrific coach. And miss him today, but. A lot of memories that are very good from those college days.
Well, let's kind of just move down the road there. You obviously have really carved out a great career. You've done great things at every school, every stop that you've made. As you look back on your career, there have been great mentors. You just mentioned Jack Hartman. You've mentioned your father. Are there any other people that have really helped shape your career. And along with that, how important do you believe it is that veteran coaches like yourself give back to younger coaches and try to help them come along and become effective leaders? Because your generation obviously not going to be there forever, and we want to try to leave the college game in as good a shape as it was when you came on the scene.
It's very important, and like all of us have been, always when you go through life, you're mentored, you're touched by so many different people. And like you mentioned, Coach Hartman and my parents certainly were at the center of all that. Two terrific high school coaches in Ellis Dahl and Joel Balzer. So, you go back there and recall all the significance that their input and your foundation. Then you go through life, and sure, as you know, coaches share everything with one another. So there's a lot of bits and pieces from a lot of different coaches, but teachers back through the years, the pastors back through the years. I mean, so many people, help shape everyone's lives. And we've been very fortunate to be surrounded by a lot of very good, positive role models that we, again, appreciate very much.
Let's talk about your team currently. You're really right in the heat of the Big 12 season. You're up around the top. You've won 16, 17 games already. You're second, third, whatever, in the Big 12. You've got a special challenge on your hands. You've handled it very, very well, at least from afar. I remember when I was coaching, I had the pleasure of coaching a special talent in Tim Duncan. And everywhere I went, people were asking me about Tim Duncan. Is he as good a person as he seems to be? Is he as good a person as he is a player? And, of course, I could always expound on that, and I could always say without any fear of contradiction that he was. Sometimes I would answer, and I'd say, no, he's not. He's a better person than he is a player. And, that always gave me a great thrill to be able to say that. You've got a similar challenge on your hand. Trae Young has captured the imagination of college fans everywhere. He's done unbelievable things this year, and really, from my standpoint, just came out of nowhere doing it. He's got to be a challenge to coach, and I mean that in a good way, being able to kind of knit him together with the fabric of a winning team. He is a star. What have you done? How have you shaped that? What are the challenges that you've had, and what kind of young man is he?
Yes, it is a challenge in a very, very positive way, because like with Tim, Trey's got a special skill set. He's doing things right now as 16, 17, 20 games into his freshman year that have never been done at the college level in terms of scoring points and assists and creating opportunities other than that for his teammates. And he puts his team in a position to be in every ball game, and in late game situations as a point guard, having the ball in his hands, a good free throw shooter, good decision maker, again, the skills to get the ball out of double teams and traps and deliver it to the right people. So it's a challenge to how do we take most advantage of all his skills and all his abilities and also players around him, put them in a position to do the same thing. And fortunately, we've got a group that's been around Trae for a long time, because Trae grew up in Norman and he played with our guys every summer. They got to know him as a sophomore in high school and junior in high school. So, that transition into becoming a teammate was relatively easy, because they knew going in how special the player Trae was. They've accepted that very well. They recognize that Trey's making them additional opportunities and also putting their team in position to do special things. So that's been a fun challenge in a very positive way, and certainly outstanding ambassador on campus in the community. Like you say, those players with those abilities, and also, good, people skills and relationships in the community make it extra special.
Well, about, maybe 2 to 3 weeks ago, he kind of hit the ceiling, so to speak. I mean, he was taking, 30-plus shots a game, and And then all of a sudden we saw that curve kind of come back to norm. There had to be a couple of conversations with him and maybe his teammates that said, maybe that's not the best for us. We want you to take the number of shots that you need to take to help us win basketball games. How did that conversation go? I mean, was it accepted? It wasn't difficult, I'm sure, because there was a difference in the next two or three games that led to Sooner victories.
We had obviously, as you do in the coaching world, you have conversations after every ball game. But we had a week there on the road where we dropped a couple of games, and our team, you know, not just Trey, but our team didn't play as we had been earlier. And you know, fortunately, Trey's very smart as a basketball player also, and he sees things well. We watch his video. He recognizes things that he can do differently, do better, and he's the first one to step up there and say, "Yeah, I needed to, be a little stronger with a pass here or finish, the different play here." So he's a quick learner, and he's very, very competitive. So, during that week, I think his competitiveness, caused the extra shots because he wanted to win, and yet he understands, more clearly each week, how much we need him to score. But also how much he needs teammates to also play well. So that's just a maturing process, and he's doing that very well, and continues to be very, very effective.
Well, just kind of an aside to that, every game in the Big 12 is difficult enough, but for him being young, he's facing a different defense each and every night. For instance, you might find one of the teams trying to keep him from catching the ball initially, making it harder for him. And then you might find another team that when he does catch it, maybe there's a double team coming at him to keep the seams closed and make him stay outside. I mean, it's got to be difficult in practice to be able to go through all of those situations and have him understand exactly what you're doing. But he looks to be a very smart player. He has a great basketball IQ, and certainly the talent level is extreme.
And it is. You're correct in every measure there. The thing, he obviously shoots the ball with good range. He handles the ball to get to the rim and finishes well there, but he's also just a terrific passer. So when they do bring that extra defender and try to double him and try to corral him, he sees the floor very well. He's got great imagination and also the skill, like I say, to deliver the ball. So it's not like a guy that, when they double, that is just a turnover. When they double him, he's going to get the ball out of there. And now we're playing 4-on-3 behind. And fortunately, we've got some other really good players that can take advantage of that. And Trey understands and appreciates that, too.
A week or so ago, the NABC, as a organization, sponsored Coaches Versus Cancer Awareness Week. You're one of the leaders in that nationally. Tell us a little bit about how you got interested in that and what that week is all about and what we hope it leads to.
That week is special. Coaches Versus Cancer, suits and sneakers. Most importantly, we want to draw attention, to the fight against cancer. Discontinue. Everyone's been touched by cancer. It's a nasty disease. Discontinue to increase the awareness. Raise dollars. Coaches around the country do a fantastic job. Since it all started back when Coach Norm Stewart at Missouri, we were at Kansas State at that time. Had a fight with cancer, and he's a survivor today and doing very well. And he is the leader in the Coaches Versus Cancer effort. But a lot of coaches around the country have jumped on board and have assisted him, and we're honored and proud to be one of those. And the American Cancer Society, they do such a great job, and so many volunteers around the country. And again, everyone's been touched by cancer, so we're all honored to be a part of it. NABC is a partner in that battle and a leading partner in that battle, and continue to raise the last 25 years over $100 million. Has been raised by Coaches Versus Cancer and the NABC organization in the fight against cancer. So we've got an event in Vegas going into its 11th year. That last year we netted over $1 million out of a weekend. You know, 20 coaches around the country come in, and they bring their foursomes. MGM Grand, you know, Kelby Krabbenhoff and Stanford Health, you know, out of South Dakota, they do such a great job in leading the way and raising the dollars to help in the fight.
Lionel, let's talk about the game itself right now, the college game, and where it might be heading. I look at college basketball, and it's a little bit of a copycat game. We look at the NBA. We see how the NBA is playing, and obviously there's a lot of pick and roll in the NBA, and it kind of spilled over to the college game itself right now. My contention is that's okay, it's good, but we really need to teach how to play the pick and roll. It just seems to me like the game right now is going more east and west. That is horizontally across the court. There's not enough, you know, as you come off the pick and roll, heading down towards the basket, the vertical cuts. Is that true, or is that just my imagination looking at it on television or in some of the games that I go to?
The NBA definitely sets the standard. Anytime something works in the NBA, you know, 2 or 3 years later, that's what is working in college. And with all the pick and rolls a few years ago that came into the NBA game, you know, out of necessity, you learn how to guard it and guard it a few different ways. You certainly learn how to run it. But most importantly, like you say, you know, it's always about attacking. It's always about getting downhill. And certainly we like to do that in transition and keep the pressure on the defense and hopefully keep the opponent from doing that back at us. But it's a great game, and it's a game that's ever-changing. You know, it's going to continue to change, and different things are going to be effective. The NBA's gone to that, you know, smaller lineup now, and the stretch four. And certainly that's a big part of the college game. We've got you know, really four guards on the floor that can all pick and pop and attack off the dribble. And one of those guards, you know, generally has to be a four-man defensively on the other end. And the more often than not, you see, four guards around one, then you see the two dominant big guys on each block today. But the game is still a physical game, and it's so hard to score in the low post because of all the contact. And really the higher percentage play is, kind of the layup or the three-pointer. And that's where the game has gone, and not as much mid-range today, not as much low post scoring today, again, because of all the contact in there that people have to endure to finish around the rim.
Line, two or three things that are issues in college basketball today. Just want to know what your thoughts were on that. One of them is the transfer proposal. Where do you stand on that? Are you in favor of that or not?
We're moving in that direction for sure, and certainly, everyone's in favor of young people's rights, you know, to transfer and do whatever. I think, you know, certainly I don't know many coaches at any level that's in favor of transferring with immediate eligibility regardless of anything else. Because, unfortunately, it just becomes a recruiting, season every year for every player. And I think the schools that really get hurt there, and I've been at the Pan American and others, mid-major type programs where, those players are going to get recruited every year by the Power Five conferences and the higher, profile programs. And that's not healthy. You know, even today when you talk about the fifth-year graduate transfers, everyone, is involved in that. But too many times young people invest 4 years and programs invest 4 years in a young guy, and he's got a fifth year remaining, and he leaves the program for that fifth year at maybe one of the Power Five conferences. And it's good for the schools that get them, and maybe even it's good for the young person involved, but not necessarily good for all programs involved.
And the one-and-done thing issue is it comes up every time you have a conversation about college basketball. Quickly, what do you think on that?
I believe it's a simple process. The baseball rule is good. You know, give young people the opportunity coming out of high school to make a choice. If you want to go to professionally and in the NBA or develop the G League system, then fine. You know, that's your right and opportunity. If you want to go to the university, then you're choosing to do that and stay at least 3 years and, get a good foundation with regard to education as well as basketball and life. And, that way people have the opportunity for choice They've got the freedom to choose professional or college and then go on from there and understanding the parameters that they're living under as a result of those choices. But again, we're moving in an interesting direction, and I think next 5 years our game's going to change a lot and hopefully continue to do so for the better.
And one more thing that I try to campaign for every time I turn around, but it seems like I get a deaf ear to it. You know, I've kind of think about rules from a defensive standpoint, and one of the things just kind of irks me every time I see it, if there's an inbound play in the front court and the team throws the ball into the back court, I just don't think that is good for basketball. I think it's it kind of plays into the hands of the offense, and I'd like to see some discussion about that. I was on the rules committee for 8 years. I just never could get that passed, but it just seems like that just takes away from the defensive effort to be able to throw it back there, and then you start to count all over again.
Well, I feel we'll be in your court on that. The game is moving in the direction of the international game, which I think is clearly the best. You know, with regard to basket interference, that call is too difficult. You know, with regard to the quarters, you know, reducing the number of free throws because the foul count starts over every 10 minutes. The jump ball, the NBA, the international game. From a rules standpoint, it's a better game. You know, I think the college game continues to move in those directions, but I think out of pride as much as anything else and wanting to be a little bit different, we're slow to move there. And yet I think, the end of games are so long and they drag out. There's too many timeouts. You know, we need to do our work in practice so that we don't lose an audience in the last 2 minutes because they take 20 minutes to finish. And I think all those things, because of the competition for entertainment, the competition for attention is so intense today with all the technology. We need to be really more concerned about how quickly our game concludes and how we do that, especially in the last 2 minutes.
And then finally, the Big 12 is an interesting league. It is very, very difficult, even from afar. I don't have to go through it like you do, but the round-robin aspect of the Big 12 is the way I think it should be played in every conference. Some of them have gotten bigger than what you would call a conference. They're more conglomerates than they are conferences. But my question to you is, you know, Kansas right now has been kind of the torchbearer for the league, but it looks like this year they're going to be challenged. There's a number of contenders in your league. How do you see the league right now? Still to be decided.
Very much still to be decided. Certainly Kansas has been the standard setter going for their 14th consecutive conference championship, which is ridiculous, given how good and balanced the other teams are. You know, the job Bill Self has done, the fan base is fantastic, terrific players. When you combine those qualities, you expect great results, and that's what Kansas has got. You know, today, Kansas is one game ahead of, us and Texas Tech, you know, Kansas State, West Virginia, another game back. Last time out, the two teams that are very, very good, but lower end of the conference, Baylor and us, we played to a 1-point, 1 possession game on Tuesday. Iowa State, beats West Virginia badly in Ames on Wednesday. I mean, just every game is tough, and every game has great swings and emotionally up and down, but great fan bases, great other coaches do a fantastic job, and terrific players. So everyone thinks the league they're in is the best, understandably, and certainly coaches in the Big 12 feel that way about our league.
Well, Lon, as you know, everybody needs a good partner in life, and the NABC is proud to partner with Wilson Sporting Goods. For athletes to perform at their best, they require the best. For over 100 years, that's what Wilson has delivered. Wilson is not only the best-selling basketball on the market, but it's also the official basketball of the NCAA. And to learn more, go to wilson.com. So, Lon, I thank you for tuning in and helping us with the NABC Guardian of the Game podcast. Coach Kruger, you are a true champion of college basketball. We appreciate everything that you do for college basketball through the years. Every place you've been, is you've been successful, and you continue to give back, and we appreciate that. Good luck to your Sooners for the rest of the year. And for fans, to learn more about the NABC, visit NABC.com and follow us on Facebook and Twitter at NABC1927. We'll be back next Monday with another episode.
The NABC Guardians of the Game is proudly supported by Wilson, the official basketball of the NCAA.